Welcome to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes. It's a new year and many of us have set new goals or revamp old ones. The most common is getting fit.
My New Year's fitness resolution is to run as much as possible, to incorporate as much running.
My New Year's resolution is to get stronger and quit drinking Diet Coke.
I had more of a fitness goal, and that was to run 800 miles in the year.
My New Year's resolution is to do 13 races in 2013 and eat cleaner.
My New Year's resolution is to wake up more often for 6 a.m. workouts.
Throughout tonight's program, we'll provide tips on getting in shape physically and financially for 2013. To kick things off, let's get that 6 a.m. workout started. That's ACE certified group fitness instructor and trainer Shannon Calavecchio. She's known as equal parts drill sergeant and, quote, fitness mama. She tells it like it is and says you've just got to be realistic with yourself.
I think that we put so much pressure on ourselves, especially at the end of a year and the beginning of a new one, to all of a sudden become this entirely new, super fit, healthy person. And depending on where you're starting from, and it doesn't matter where you start from, that's okay, but I think you've got to make it realistic. You're not going to wake up on January 2nd and all of a sudden be running 10 miles a day. So I like to kind of tell people to break it down into chunks, you know. So this week, I'm going to maybe start running a mile in the morning before I go to work. And in a couple weeks, maybe I work it up to 2 miles. And then by February, maybe I start to look at what I'm eating. So I think you have to break it down into chunks is my one thing. And then the other thing is to have a timeline. You know, if you don't give yourself a timeline and you just kind of put out this very generic, vague goal, it's much easier to put it off. Whereas if you say, ooh, I'm going to be ready for that 5K in March, it gives you something to work for.
Everybody starts off with a goal of fitness, almost everyone, saying that they want to lose weight and all of that stuff. Like, what's the best way to keep up with that goal once they put it out there? Like, you can look at the data. People sign up at gyms, and then after a few months, it just wanes off.
Right, yeah, we call that it's like the 6 weeks, right, from January to about mid-February, and all of a sudden it starts to get quiet. But, you know, I think that you've got to remember whatever motivated you to set that goal in the first place. If you are trying to, for example, lose weight, is there somebody that is, you know, even if it's a celebrity or an athlete that really is a role model to you? I tell people to have a picture on their fridge. I have a fridge picture of Dara Torres. It is old. It's been up there for 3 years. And I just think she's a phenomenal athlete. She is strong and she is fierce. And every time I go to eat a piece of chocolate out of my fridge or something, well, there she is staring right back at me. So I think it's that. And I think also, again, to not make it really overwhelming and to break it down into chunks means that every time you reach one of those mini goals, it motivates you to get to the next one.
Why should we aim to join a gym at the beginning of the year or stay fit? Why is it so important?
Well, you know, I think the timing of that, I always tell people, you don't have to wait until January to set your resolution. I mean, heck, it could be June and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I don't really like the way I'm living right now. I don't feel good. I have no energy and I'm going to change my life. And, you know, I tell people there's a big difference between existing and living. And especially if you've got a family and you've got loved ones, I don't know about you, but I want to be around for a long time for them. And I want to be able to live my life and travel and go places and try new things and never, ever be pulled back and held back by my lack of physical fitness or the fact that I have no energy. That would just be something that I would think of as not enjoyable at all.
Mm-hmm. I know you have some tips about how you can start small from at home. So mm-hmm. What can you give out? Or at the office. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go out to the gym. Like you said, you don't have to do this big leap.
Right. So I do a lot of workouts that I put on my Badass Fitness blog that, you know, they're no equipment. I mean, here's the deal. If you've got 4 minutes a day, you can do an interval drill called a Tabata drill where you do 20 seconds of, say, jumping jacks, you rest for 10 seconds, and then you do it again for a total of 8 loops. That literally takes 4 minutes. Or you could tell yourself every morning, I'm going to do 25 push-ups, 25 chair dips, and 25 jumping jacks. Just do that. Start there. It literally starts so small. And the thing is that once you realize how good that feels, you want to do more. You know, it's human nature to be like, ooh, that kind of worked. I'm going to keep doing that.
All right. Are we awake?
Yeah.
Who has a New Year's resolution? Yes? Say here.
Here.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready? In 10 burpees and then 10 jacks. 3, 2, 1. 1, 2. Count them with me. 3.
So you know these people really well. You just heard all of their fitness goals for 2013. Is it good to have a goal set, period?
I do think it's good to have a goal set. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be physical, right? It could be in 2013, I'm going to get more rest, right? Because that is a part of wellness, too. You can't be going full steam and getting 4 hours of sleep a night. That's just not going to work. That's not healthy either. So, or it could be I'm going to spend more time with my family. But, yeah, I think in life, goals keep us going. If we don't have goals, well, what are we waking up for every day?
So to find out more about fitness, what should people do?
So if you want to find out more about classes like today and join all these people who are making awesome resolutions, you can join what we call the Badass Army, and you can find me at www.badassfitness.com. You can also get me on Twitter at my handle is at BadassFitCEO.
All right. Welcome to It's About Florida. Allison Barnes-Carter with the Florida Department of Health. We didn't want to leave the state out of this discussion of New Year's and setting New Year's resolutions. What tips do you have for all Floridians to follow?
Here at the Florida Department of Health, we have what we call the 4-Life Plan that promotes 4 basic healthy behaviors that can help you stay on track for the new year. The first is eating healthy, and that includes making sure you keep count of your calories in each meal and that you, if you are overweight, eat a little bit less and more nutritiously. You can always work with your doctor on coming up with a plan and your nutritionist on coming up with a plan for what you want to eat. But this will help you account for how much you're putting on your plate and into your body.
And what are the other tips? You have a few others.
You can also stop sweet drinks and, of course, don't supersize anything and don't bother to clean your plate. You remember that mantra from when you were a kid, but stop eating when you're full. The second tip is becoming physically active, and we'd like you to shoot for at least 30 minutes of activity at your target heart rate 5 days a week. Again, you can work with your doctor on figuring out what that target heart rate is. Don't forget you can burn additional calories through everyday tasks such as house cleaning, raking leaves, or cutting the grass. All of those are fun, and you can mix them with traditional exercises.
Another tip I know that you have is helping people to quit tobacco.
Yes, that's one of the larger goals we have in making sure that you keep track and progress of those things. You can go to tobaccofreeflorida.com, and they have 3 ways that you can quit. They give you assistance, and that also helps. And if you pair that quitting with the healthy behaviors that we just talked about, you'll have a really great, helpful year.
Overall, how do people get access to these services, or how can they find the help to help them, like, you know, keep up with their New Year's resolution and not throw their hands up six months in?
Sure. Well, like you said, the 4th healthy behavior is getting checkups and taking control if you do already have a chronic disease such as diabetes. And what you can do is go to floridahealth.com. Again, that's floridahealth.com. And we have loads of information and recipes and things that you can look at to see how and when you should get screenings and what you can do every day to be your healthiest.
All right. Allison Barnes-Carter with the Florida Department of Health, thank you so much for all these wonderful tips.
Well, we're excited, and here's to a healthy year.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes. Now, many people jump into the new year with a lot of debt from all the holiday shopping, and then there are big dreams to set off on a new career, among other things. We've got more tips coming right up. We're now off to Workforce Plus headquarters, which offers employment solutions in the Capital Region. Here's what Executive Director Kimberly Moore has to say to those looking for a career change.
Well, as I've always said to everybody, you got to press that reset button. You got to get back out there. Maybe last year wasn't what you wanted or expected, but this is a new year, so come up with that game plan and get it going.
So starting off with that game plan, what are some tips do you have for people out there who are considering that they might want to have a change in their life and pursue a different job.
Unfortunately, with the economic downturn, change has been something not necessarily and oftentimes sought after, but just has become a reality of where a lot of individuals are. Because of that, I would say look at the skills that you possess. Determine what transferable skills you have out there. Some of them might include, especially if it's customer service related, that particular skill set can be found in a number of different industries. So don't, I call it, cross out what your options might be. Look at what your possibilities are. And if you need help with that, making sure that you take advantage of the resources in the community, such as Workforce Plus.
I know you've been saying, or one of your mantras, like, you know, have a plan, and you should have a plan when going about this. What are some other tips you have to give out there?
Okay. Some other tips is figuring out who's hiring. You need to know that at a minimum. There are so many different job boards out there, but if you could find that one job board, and I'll give you an example that you can start off with, it's employflorida.com. It takes into account all the different job boards, one place. You can have your resume stored, and you can even set up virtual recruiter options. So even when you're asleep or, you know, whatever else you might be doing, if you've set up that profile, it will alert you when the job that you're looking for is actually posted. So lots of handy-dandy tools out there, making sure that you have more than one resume. I think that's the biggest myth out there, that one resume does the trick, and it really doesn't. You need to make sure that your resume is custom, is tailored to fit what an employer is looking for. Remember, it's not to satisfy you, it's to satisfy that employer, your next employer.
Yeah. So that job board is sort of like having it work for you. While you're sleeping, something else is pushing your resume out there.
Yeah, there are so many different job boards. And also making sure, you know, an extra special tip is making sure that the resume that you develop involves and includes those keywords that are specific to the industry that you're looking to get into. I can tell you that most of the job search and recruiting efforts now, it's quick, it's in a hurry, it's 30 seconds to a minute. Reviewers can look at that resume and determine whether you have the skill sets. And especially if this work is being performed electronically, you want to make sure that your resume sees the light of day.
Is it appropriate to give the reason why you're leaving a previous job? Or if you're not, if you're in a bad situation, how do you convey that or not convey that to the next employer to be?
Well, I always encourage job seekers to make sure that, one, you don't go into your next opportunity bashing your current employer. The whole thought behind that is that certainly the person that's interviewing wonders what if it doesn't work out in the future for them, you with their company, and what type of communication you will share once you depart there. So really keep in mind that though you're thinking about leaving a bad situation or a poor situation in your mind, you also may be doing something to your future that results in a negative reaction.
So far, have a plan, get multiple resumes, put your resumes on job boards. What else is next?
Got to be willing to stretch yourself. Again, it's a new year, excitement, opportunities abound, but stretch yourself. Oftentimes, there are lots of different skills that we may not have, and sometimes we're afraid to even think about picking them up, some of which include computer skills. I know everybody has somebody that can type something up for them, but what about you having that ability to go online and perform searches, or even public speaking, one of the biggest fears out there, taking advantage of those resources that are out here in our community and getting those skills yourself. I can tell you that 80% of the jobs that we post locally require computer-related skills, but that's one of the biggest gaps that we see with job seekers who come in looking for employment, lack of computer skills. So don't make this year your best year ever and get those skills that you didn't have in the last year.
Should people be worried about their digital presence in this year, and how can they go about like cleaning it up if it's not so ready for public viewing, if it's already out there?
The concern is certainly that we should all remember before we hit submit, send, or whatever the case may be, that once it's out there, there is definitely a trail that follows probably forever. I would caution job seekers, as well as those that are in a job, that you be mindful of the company you keep, just as your parents have told you in the past, the friends that you maintain, whether it be on Facebook and other social media outlets. Keeping in mind that a number of employers have engaged this as a way of determining, not the sole determinant, but as a way of just finding out more about that top job candidate that's performed so well in the interview. And they want to know, you know, does that personal life also feed well, and will it be the best representation for their organization? So be mindful, make sure you put those private filters on there, and certainly don't put anything on there that you wouldn't want reported, published, or whatever else in your near future.
How do you make a lasting impression still in a good way, mm-hmm. even if you don't secure that job that you've been trying to get.
What oftentimes is it appears to be lost with technology, but following up with an interview with a nice handwritten note, it is still okay and absolutely welcomed. We oftentimes hear that communication from employers about how job seekers followed up and what that communication was. I think it speaks volumes about that individual and their commitment to securing that job. And certainly if it's not that job, hopefully that the employer would think about them in the future because of their efforts.
All right. Any other tips to look out for in this new year and getting this year started right with change and something new?
Well, definitely know what's going on in your community. And one example of what's going on, there's our upcoming job fair that's going to be taking place January 24th at the Leon County Civic Center. And we welcome job seekers. It's the biggest event in North Florida, South Georgia, again, from 10 to 2. And it's one of those events that you want to dress to impress as well as come with your resumes. And if for whatever reason, again, you believe that you lack some of those skills that would allow you to advance in today's job market, then make sure you're taking advantage of resources such as Workforce Plus. We're here to serve you, and we want to make sure, again, that 2013 is the best for you.
Well, Kimberly Moore, thank you so much for those tips. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure it will help our listeners.
You're very welcome.
And now it's time to get financially fit. To help, I've turned to certified financial planner Ted Nation with Capstone Financial, who was kind enough to meet for a quick chat outside of a Tallahassee eatery.
Everyone comes out with the New Year's resolution, we're going to do this, we're going to lose weight, we're going to find a new job. But when it comes to finances and financial planning, what advice do you have to say to them in this new year?
Well, the first thing is to take a look at the dollars that you owe on. You know, so look at the interest rates on credit cards, your mortgage, car loans, personal loans, and just try to make sure that you're paying those debts down in the most efficient manner. Sometimes I'll see people that have good intentions paying extra towards stuff, but maybe they're paying extra towards a mortgage where the interest rate's 5%, and meanwhile they're only making a minimum payment on their credit card that may have like a 20% interest rate on there.
So looking at what you're putting out there is one of your tips. What else do you have for people that people should follow?
Another area where people can sometimes save money is just look at their habits in regards to, say, like their auto insurance. I will talk to people sometimes that have a $250 deductible on their car insurance, and I'll just ask them the question, if you were in a car accident and there was $700 worth of damage, are you going to file a claim or are you just going to kind of take care of it yourself? You know, and there's no right or wrong answer to that, but if people say, well, I'm going to take care of it myself, I'll just ask them to, well, then maybe you should look at raising your deductible to $500 or $1,000 or more just to see if you could free up some cash flow. And then try to take some of that savings and just put it towards put it in the bank. I've seen some cases where the family would switch their deductible from $500 to $1,000, and they were able to save about $300 a year.
Wow, that's impressive. I've never thought of that, using it that way.
You know, some people, regardless of what the accident is, they're going to file the claim because in their mind, that's what they're paying the insurance for.
There's a lot of change that goes on, or plans for change in these New Year's resolution, and one of them is switching jobs if they decide to switch jobs. What should people do as far as taking care of their finances when they're looking to jump to another career?
If people that are changing jobs, one thing that Nick gets neglected is that I will see people that have changed jobs and maybe collecting retirement accounts. So they'll have four or five different accounts from four or five different places, and they won't often know what those accounts hold. Sometimes each of those accounts is being assessed a fee, so they may be paying, you know, over $100 just in maintenance fees from all those accounts. Well, then that may be five, six times more than what they need to be paying. More importantly, it's hard to track all those accounts, so it's better if you have control over it and maybe can consolidate it into one plan.
How important is it to have a rainy day fund, and how can one set that up?
I think that's one of the most important things. That's part of your foundation, is having that, what do you call it, a rainy day fund, emergency fund, a cash reserve. One of the easiest ways I found is just kind of eliminating the choice with that. And what I mean by that is, is getting in the habit of paying yourself first. So set up an online savings account, something that there's a little bit of a barrier between you and that money. Make it automatic. So say on the first of the month, $50 goes from your checking account into your online savings account. And just kind of play with that number to see. I mean, at the end of the month, no one has any money left. We're all just kind of living paycheck to paycheck. But if I can pay myself first, yes, I'll still have no money left at the end of the month, but I'll have put that $50 away for me to use hopefully in the future. As the $50 becomes comfortable, try to ratchet that number up until it becomes uncomfortable. So yeah. Go from 50 to 100, 50 to 70. And if it becomes too much, you can always back it back down. But you're getting in that habit of paying yourself first, putting a system in place so that, you know, a year or two down the road, you've got something.
One of your other tips is check the benefits you currently have at work to make sure, like, you know, you're not wasting money.
Exactly, yeah. Check the benefits that you have through work. To make sure that you're not paying extra, whether it's a life insurance, a cancer policy. Group coverage is usually the most cost-effective way to kind of get coverage. It's not always it doesn't fit for everyone, but it's something you at least want to consider it, especially if it's a short-term, long-term disability. Those kind of group coverages are usually pretty valuable to you. Along those same lines, it's very important to just check the beneficiaries that you have set up on your life insurance, on your retirement accounts. Make sure that it's the money's going to go to who you want it to go to. I don't know how many times I've sat down with someone and the beneficiary on their account may be the ex-husband, and that's not what they want. They thought it was the children, but it's the ex-husband. Those documents will supersede any kind of will that you have. So if you set it up at work, if you've gotten married, if you've gotten divorced, if you've had children, just take a minute and just reevaluate or review who those beneficiaries are.
The other thing that people wonder about, or I've heard many times, trying to figure out the world of investing. Is it as complicated as it seems? And how can one who has that as a goal, how can they delve into that world?
The nice thing about the internet is that there's a lot of information out there. The bad thing about the internet is that there's a lot of information out there. So you want to be careful where you're getting your advice or who you're getting your advice from. There's a lot of trade magazines out there, but you got to look at who their advertisers are, and a lot of them are the investment companies. So sometimes you can get tricked into stuff. I always try to, if I see something, I try to verify it from more than one source with it. But it can be very complicated, but it doesn't need to be. You can keep it simple and still advance towards your goals.
So in summary, to wrap up everything that we've covered, what's the most important thing that you would say people should do in 2013?
The most important that I feel, and this is coming from, being a family man, is just please just review your beneficiaries, making sure that, I mean, you take the time to buy the policies or you take the time to set up the accounts, make sure that it is going to go, heaven forbid, you know, something does happen to you, the money's going to go to who you want it to go to. Outside of that, next in line would be it's looking at those interest rates, looking at the liabilities, the debts they owe, to see if there's a better way that you can pay those down.
Well, Ted Nation, thanks for joining me here. We're outside at this wonderful cafe and a great afternoon in Tallahassee.
Well, thanks again for having me, and I wish everyone a healthy and prosperous 2013.
Thank you to our guests, Allison Barnes-Carter with the Florida Department of Health, fitness trainer Shannon Colavecchio, Kimberly Moore with Workforce Plus, and Ted Nation with Capstone Financial. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.